Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad you found your way to this worshiping community. Check out your bulletin for announcements and calendar, all the ways that you can be involved in the life of this community. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be someone standing at the communion table following worship to receive any of your questions or your comments. So I have a few announcements this morning. So I'll do a little bit chronological here. First, all right, next Sunday, Memorial Day weekend, a great worship opportunity here called Then Sings My Soul, Fusion Sunday. But I need your help because we're going to be singing your favorite hymns. And what I need to know is, what are your favorite hymns? So in the hospitality register this morning, please, you can put down one or more of your most favorite hymns. You can fill that hospitality register right on up, even flip it over. So here's motivation this morning to be signing it. Put your favorite hymn. You can do that right now during the offertory, or I guess if the sermon's boring, do it during then too. But I want to know your favorite hymns. So that's next Sunday. Then June 5th, we here at GPC will be hosting a Kirkin o' the Tartan. And can't wait to welcome all the great music that Sunday. Don't forget to wear your tartan. And if anyone would like to bring any Scottish-themed treats for our coffee time together, there's a sign-up on the kiosk. So if you would just put your name down and what you would like to bring. Third announcement I have from Tom Ward, who is in Boston at his granddaughter's dance recital. Our Guatemalan guests will be here at the end of June. There are lots of sign-ups on the kiosk for opportunities there to help host our guests. As Tom reminds us, it takes a village to welcome a village. So we would love your help. Any questions, please email or give Tom a call. All right, other announcements we have this morning. Beth, we'll start here.
Good morning, billboard. The shirts are in. Woo! So please, we will be handing them out down in the fellowship hall after church today for those of you who ordered. Please come down and see us. Second announcement regarding the flea market. We have a sign up out on the kiosk as well. It's looking a little sparse. And oh, by the way, that's only 2 weeks away. So please take a look. And if you can give us any of your time, we'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Linda Beatty. This is Charlie the Church Mouse, courtesy of Sue Mancini. And
I'm Jan Buettner, or Jan Schertz. Either one works now.
And Tess McKeel and the three of us are the co-chair people for the Church Mouse Bazaar. Now, it comes up in November, November 19th, but we have applications available this morning out on the rack in the foyer there, and for crafters who want to participate. And church crafters get an early registration. So if you would like to participate in the craft fair, it's a Saturday, November 19th, and it's from 9 to 3:30. And we have a wonderful time. It's a lot of fun, and we have so many people in the church that help out. It is really a family party. So just want to keep this in mind. Charlie will be around. You will see him. And if you have any questions, you can talk to Jan, Tess, or I. Thank you.
And it's already almost June, so who knows? November will be here again before we know it. Right?
No.
I know.
No,
I can't help
no,
it.
No. We're
time.
Not ready for that yet.
Our junior high retreat this weekend didn't manage to happen because of conflicts, but that will not stop us from partying. We have a whole bunch of coloring supplies and cards to make, and so anybody junior high, we'll even let the senior high or brothers or sisters come hang out with us, wants to do a little something special, just meet us in the junior high lounge after church, and we're going to grab lunch and have a coloring party. Hope to see you guys there.
And Sherry McFarland asked me to remind parents, our young folks will be rehearsing for Children's Sunday, so they might be a little late this morning getting out, which should not be a problem. Parents, there is so much to sign up for on that kiosk and coffee to be had down in Fellowship Hall, so I know you will stay busy. All right. Friends, let us now prepare our hearts and our minds, our whole entire selves, to worship God.
Good morning. Please stand for the call to worship. Though we could be resentful,
we come to give thanks.
Though we could be complaining,
we come to offer appreciation.
Though we could be upset about what we lack,
we come in gratitude for what we have.
We enter now into this time of worship, singing songs of joy and praising God together. Hymn 365.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Lord Jesus, we hear you ask, "What do you want me to do for you?" And we confess we don't always know. We come with a laundry list of complaints, but none of them reach into the depth of our aching souls. We confess an unwillingness to face up to decisions we might need to make and behaviors we need to change in order to live into the joy you intend for our lives. Grant us healing in your love that offers the true hope of happiness and wholeness. Let us confess our sins silently together. Hear these words from Christ. "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So go forth in the power of the Almighty, who forgives you and loves you." Thanks be to God. Amen. And now would the children please join me up front. Nice socks. You like lose all your brothers. Hi, everyone. Got a question for you guys today. Have you ever been really busy? Yes, definitely. Anyone out there ever been really busy? Yeah, I thought so. Have you ever been so busy you have to wake up really early in the morning? Yeah, kinda. That sounds okay. I like the sound of that. What do you guys get busy with early in the morning? What do you guys have to do? Yeah? Soccer games? Oh, yeah. What do you have to do? Stuff? All right. What do you have to do? Oh, yeah, you got to get the bus. Oh, yeah, that's important. What do you do? You have to eat breakfast. That's right. What do you do? School? Oh, yeah, we should probably go to school. That's a good idea. Have you guys ever been so busy you have to stay up late? Sometimes. Ooh, okay. Stay up late for family night? That's a good kind of busy right there. And baseball? Oh, stay up late for baseball. That's important. Yeah, what else? Harry Potter. That's awesome. Have you guys ever been so busy you didn't have time to talk to your friends? No, never. You wouldn't do that, right? Do you ever think Jesus is too busy to talk to you? Not always. All right. So in today's Bible story, there is a man named Bartimaeus. Big name, right? And Bartimaeus was blind, and he lived all alone, and he wanted Jesus to help him. Yeah? Perfect! You read your story Bible. Yeah, this was a good story in there. I checked it out. Yeah, they thought that he was interrupting Jesus. He wanted help from Jesus, and they wouldn't let him go up and talk to Jesus because everyone said, "Jesus is too busy to talk to you." But was Jesus too busy? No. As soon as Jesus heard that Bartimaeus needed help, he stopped everything and he went right up and talked to him and helped him to see. Because Jesus always has time for you. And he's never too busy for you to talk to him or pray to him. Because God loves you very, very much and always wants to hear from you. So even when you guys are busy, you can always pray to God. You can always read the story Bible. You think you guys can do that? All right, let's pray together. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for listening to us. We are never too busy to talk to you. Amen. All right, we're all going to go off to Sunday school in the adult lounge and sing with Miss Debbie. Let's go, let's go.
The first reading of the scripture is Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed of sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves.
Our second reading of the Word this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." They called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Well, friends, graduation season is upon us. Thousands will fill the seats of the Gordon Fieldhouse at RIT in the upcoming months to see their favorite high school graduate walk the stage. And a few of you may have already gotten a jump start on claiming your own uncomfortable metal folding chair or bleacher seat for the best view of your college graduate processing to pomp and circumstance. Get comfy in that seat of yours, because as you know, you will spend a considerable amount of time in it, listening to the various educational administrators and dignitaries, offering their lengthy words of welcome before that long-awaited commencement speaker delivers what they hope will be a memorable address. So when J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series, spoke to a group of graduates and all those gathered in uncomfortable seats at Harvard in 2008, she came clean about just how memorable these speeches are not. When she heard one of her literary idols speak at her own college graduation, she confesses to not remembering one word. Now, I've heard a fair share of these speeches in my life, filled with all sorts of advice and words of wisdom, lessons learned, ideas on how to be successful, and insights on how to go after what you really want in life. So, of course, there are a whole host of reasons why these speeches tend not to stick with us. But I wonder if part of the reason why they don't have a long-lasting effect in our lives is because most of these speeches tend to assume that once you've been handed that piece of paper declaring that you have fulfilled the requirements of an educational institution, you will have everything you want all figured out. Right? That's the assumption. And the speaker is just there to inspire and motivate you to really go after it. But what if you don't know what you want? I found it refreshing recently to read a blog from a high school junior who wrote that, "I often feel as though I should already have my life figured out, A lot of my peers have plans for their post-high school careers, but I find myself shrugging my shoulders every time somebody asks me, "What are you doing after high school?" Not to mention the fact that I'm constantly bombarded with reminders from adults in my life to choose a career path right now, specifically one that will make me a lot of money and set me on a comfortable path for the rest of my life. "Hopefully I'm not alone in my distress," she concludes. This almost high school senior is not alone. I believe most graduates feel this way. And what most of them have yet to learn is this distress plagues them again in 4 years if they choose to go to college. And that question, "What do you want?" and the assumption you already have it figured out shows back up again, doesn't it? That first job, the pressure to climb the corporate ladder. And then the question comes up again, "What do you want?" If we choose to marry or have children, to take time off or not, to be home with those said children. "What do you want?" comes up yet again when trying to figure out how to make a job shift, how to care for aging parents, what our own retirement plans might look like. And then throw in all the unpredictables, right? The death of a loved one, a job loss, divorce, or major health crisis. And that question just keeps hanging out there. What do you want? And people are quick to offer advice, aren't they? Solutions, lessons learned, and commencement speech like pithy sayings. But rarely are people willing to just sit with us in that question and practice the real mercy that we need in the everyday struggle of living that question. What do I want? I suppose that's why this story this morning captures my attention from the scripture. It's an odd little exchange between Jesus and Bartimaeus, a man who is blind and struggling along the roadside from Jericho. Bartimaeus calls out loudly, persistently, repetitively to this well-known itinerant healer, and it should seem obvious what he wants. But Jesus doesn't jump to any conclusions. Jesus asks, "What do you want? More specifically, what do you want me to do for you?" And the man has to stop and ask this question of himself. The man, of course, states the obvious, "Let me see again," and Jesus goes the next step, offering what the man had originally been shouting out to him to get Jesus' attention for mercy. Or to be treated like a child of God. This theme should sound familiar. 2 weeks ago, we heard the story of Jesus healing the man in the tombs who was suffering from mental illness. Now, in biblical times, communities were never kind to those suffering from physical or mental or emotional conditions. And in some ways, today we've come so far. We still have so far to go. Yes, we've stopped linking blindness, illness, and other conditions of suffering as evidence of a person's sin. But we do continue to make this assumption that given any particular life circumstance, the most obvious answer is the only answer to the question, "What do you want?" In both situations, Jesus offers the obvious: sight restored, demons cast out. But he also addresses the deeper, the unspoken, the mercy needed for true wholeness and healing. Sometimes it's hard to find examples in our everyday lives where this kind of mercy is practice. Where just being with people in that moment of them struggling with that question, not just giving advice, but just providing the open space for those questions, those concerns, those struggles to exist. I was thankful when I ran across an article by well-known author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about someone that she noticed, who didn't assume that they knew what was going on in the lives of all the people around, but truly practiced mercy by just holding that space with a group of strangers. She tells the story of when some years ago, I was stuck on a crosstown bus in New York City during rush hour. Traffic was barely moving, and the bus was filled with cold, tired people who were deeply irritated with one another, with the rainy, sleety weather, with the world itself. Two men barked at each other about a shove that might or might not have been intentional. Pregnant woman got on. No one offered her a seat. Rage was in the air. No mercy would be found here. But as the bus approached 7th Avenue, the driver got on the intercom. "Folks," he said, "I know you've had a rough day and you're frustrated. I can't do anything about the weather or traffic. But here's what I can do. As each of you gets off the bus, I'll reach out my hand to you. As you walk by, drop your troubles into the palm of my hand, okay? Don't take your problems home to your families tonight. Just leave them with me. My route goes right to the Hudson River, and when I drive by there, I'll open the window and throw your troubles in the water. Sound good?" And it was as if a spell had been lifted. People burst out laughing and faces gleamed with surprised delight. People who had been pretending for the past hour not to notice each other's existence were suddenly grinning at each other. Like, is this guy serious? Of course he was. At the next stop, just as he promised, the driver reached out his hand, palm up, and waited. And one by one, all these exciting commuters placed their hands just above and mimed the gesture of dropping something into his palm. Some people laughed as they did this. Some people teared up. But everyone did it. The driver repeated the same lovely ritual at the next stop too, and the next, all the way to the river. Friends, we live in challenging, complicated, and ever-changing times. Our lives reflect this reality. Sometimes it is extra difficult and stressful to live as children of God, let alone treat other people that way. There are days, months, even years when we aren't sure what we would put in the outstretched palm of a bus driver, let alone pretend to think we can assume an answer for someone else. But practicing mercy with others and ourselves means to follow in the ways of Jesus and a New York City bus driver. Leave the speeches filled with life advice, words of wisdom, and lesson learned up to all the commencement speakers. Because we can all relieve a bit of stress for recent graduates and anyone who is experiencing the struggle in that question. What do I want? By ourselves, just opening our hearts and our hands to hold the space for the real struggles and uncertainties of all of life's challenges. May it be so for you and for me. Thanks be to God. Microphone makes its way over. I would ask that you keep Marge Westfall in your prayers. She's having ongoing surgery for her leg, so keep her in prayer this week.
Polly Moore, I just would like to ask for prayers for Bill Wallens and for Barb and for Natalie and Ben. Thank you.
Continued prayers for the Wallens family. Would also ask for prayers for all of our upcoming graduates from high school and college as they and their families through this transition.
Heather Pym, thanks to GPC for awarding Jossie the mustard seed. It means a lot to all of us. And also prayers of concern for a couple of friends of mine going through some health and personal issues. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Prayers of joy for Jossie
him being the recipient of the Mustard Seed Award this year, and also for various coworkers facing health concerns.
Hi, Peter Derry. Just prayers of thankfulness for getting through some difficulties while I was away in Michigan this weekend.
All right, and from our children this morning, prayers of joy for a new pet fish, prayers of joy for being able to pitch for the first time, for great birthday parties and neighbors, and prayers for all of our kids who are involved in soccer and baseball and lacrosse and dance and all the many great things that spring weather in Rochester brings. So prayers with our children and also their families. I would also ask your prayers for the folks and the many, many farm workers who are marching. They began in Long Island about a week or so ago and are marching all the way to Albany. I had a chance to be with them in New York City yesterday, and they are fighting for human dignity and the ability to receive equal pay for their work. So prayers for all of those who are marching this week. Let us continue our time of prayer. We come offering praise and glory to you, O great and glorious God, who has breathed new life into our dry and dusty souls, giving us fresh hope, new enthusiasm for life and living, both individually and as a community of faith. We have experienced times of loss and disappointment, and yet, O God, you are trustworthy and turn these sorrows and pain into time of hope and expectation. Holy God, we pray that we may be good representatives and stewards of our roles and responsibilities as we daily seek to live a faithful witness to you. We hope that others may see and know that you are a God who is worthy of honor and worship, and that your faithfulness and mercy is available to all. Renew and restore us, O God. We rejoice in new beginnings that you have made possible through your generous and forgiving love, that past tears and regrets can stay in the past, that your inspiration and encouragement continues to move us forward. God, we continue to surround in prayer all of those who are suffering, who are hurting throughout the world, for those experiencing the effects of natural disasters, violence, and war. We give thanks for those who are struggling and working for justice and peace. God, and we give our thanks and praise to your Son, Jesus, who taught us not only to pray, but the ways in which to live our life. And we share together in the prayer he taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we receive and celebrate the abundance for which God has entrusted us and we receive the morning offering, a reminder in those hospitality registers, make sure we see what your favorite hymns are so that we can include them in worship next week. Let us receive the morning offering.
been with us through all of life's circumstances. Your strength and comfort have guided and sustained us. Now may our gifts of thanksgiving be used in the service of your ministry. Amen.
From this place to hold the real spaces of struggle and questions, those questions we have in our own lives and the questions of those in our community and life. Friends, hold that space and know that the God of love is there with us in it. The God of grace is there struggling and asking with us. So go. With the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit, now and always, Alleluia. Amen.